98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show that's ever existed.
It really, really is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. And off we go, another week at the Bickley and Murata Show. Happy Monday to everybody. Not that long ago, I thought having a pair of Masters, a Fall Masters and a Spring Masters, was going to be like the greatest thing I've ever experienced. Both tournaments stunk. Both of them.
Wow. I was watching a little bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Down the stretch when Matsuyama was up by like 5-6 strokes, and you're like, ooh, snooze fest.
And yeah.
It got a little tight at the end.
Yeah, he tried to give it away at the end like often happens. There just wasn't a lot of drama. There is a really, really cool photo on social media, though. Hideki Matsuyama sitting at a chair at O'Hare Airport this morning by himself, nobody around him. He's got his green jacket, and it's folded over the back of an airport chair as he's sitting there. Probably waiting for a flight to Tokyo where he is going to come back and just be the, you know, the newest hero.
Think going back to Tokyo, not the next tour stop?
I'm sure he's probably going to go home for a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is the time to cha-ching. This is the time to cash in.
That's the time where you change your schedule after you win the Masters?
Yes,
you know
it
what?
Is. Yes.
That next stop's not that important.
There's a real high cancellation rate from people who win majors. The next tournament afterwards, I'm not going to be there.
Kind of like the day after the Super Bowl. Yeah. A lot of people changing their plans for work on that day.
Not going to make that one.
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, right. You've earned it, Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes.
You're saying Hideki Matsuyama is throwing the green jacket into a river right now across a boat?
Yes, absolutely. That's what he's saying. Now the greatest Hideki Mats in... In American
because of
sports.
Hideki Matsui, right? Yeah.
I think he's
big
surpassed
slugger
him.
For the Yankees.
Winning the Masters surpasses
teams,
World Series MVP.
Jason
correct?
Giambi.
Giambi.
Jeter.
All right. It's good. It's going to be a good week. Yeah. Get it started, Carlin.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Pretty good Sunday at the office for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Right-hander Luke Weaver took a no-hitter into the seventh inning. D-backs offense put up plenty of support in a 7-0 win over the Cincinnati Reds at Chase Field. Weaver was masterful, relying on his fastball and changeup. He had a perfect game going until he hit Alex Blandino with a pitch with two outs in the sixth. He would lose the no-hitter with one out in the seventh on a single by Eugenio Suarez, but still combined with Matt Peacock on the two-hit shutout. Eduardo Escobar tied a franchise record by homering for the fourth straight game. The D-backs got their first series win of the season. They'll start a two-game stint against the Oakland A's tonight at Chase Field with Madison Bumgarner on the hill against Chris Bassett. First pitch, 6:40. Pregame coverage starts at 6 on ESPN 628.
Yeah, nice little recovery from the baseball team this weekend. Luke Weaver was fabulous yesterday. Do you believe he got jinxed out of his no-hitter, though?
How so?
Well, they started showing it, I believe, on the crawl.
Oh, yeah. On the new graphic, on the Bally Sports graphics.
Uh-huh.
They have a built-in
spot.
Were the announcers talking about it? Because we know that's the key to no-hitters throughout the history of baseball. You mention it if it's the opposing team. You don't mention if it's the home
team. Listen, but people get visibly upset if you do it. I was about to tweet out, because I was watching Luke Weaver yesterday. I was about to tweet out, hey, y'all, you should be watching this. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that.
I shouldn't say y'all. You're right.
Well, that too. But I'm not going to do this.
No?
People get very upset about that.
They do. They do. Once upon a time, I did an afternoon, for a very short time, I did an afternoon drive sports talk radio show. So late in the show, it was late enough to where the East Coast baseball games were getting into the meat of it. And any time there was a no-hitter going on, I would go out of my way to announce what was going on to try to jinx it. That's how bored I was doing that show.
Wow.
So you're saying for a very brief time you had that show.
Yes, very brief time. The Arizona Cardinals, according to various reports, bringing in free agent running back James Conner for a visit. Conner is 25 years old, 6'1", 230 pounds, spent his entire college and pro career in Pittsburgh. First at Pitt, then with the Steelers. Pro Bowler in 2018. Last year ran for 721 yards and 6 touchdowns for the anemic Steelers rushing attack. It's definitely an area of need.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Edmonds right now remains the only Cardinals running back on the roster who has carried the ball from scrimmage in an NFL game. So they need somebody, whether it's a veteran or address it through the draft. I think they could do worse. I think James Conner is a great story. There are concerns there, how healthy he's been able to stay. And that's not very healthy throughout the course of his NFL career.
No, I would be very excited if they landed this guy, though, because this is the kind of guy that they need. They need somebody who can run between the tackles. Uh-huh. And, you know, the injury history with James Conner is significant, but I do think that this is not a primary role. This is a 1A and 1B. This is a mix-and-match kind of role. Curveball and fastball kind of thing.
Here's another.
So I'd be excited with this guy because this guy's got some pedigree. This guy took over for Lev Bell and had the season of his life.
Still short of 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Again, due to injury. But again, great story. Mm-hmm. Cancer survivor.
Yep.
And I think he would definitely help the room. The Arizona Cardinals' acquisition of all-pro wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins has been bestowed with the Alpha Award for the best sports transaction of the year from the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. I didn't know such a thing existed.
Yeah, me neither.
But it does exist.
What a dork!
What a dork!
Yeah, the past winners of this, in 2020, it was the Yankees getting DJ LeMahieu, the Raiders getting Khalil Mack, Chris Paul going to the Rockets in 2018, Kevin Durant going to the Warriors in 2017, and now it's DeAndre Hopkins. More so than that Tom Brady guy going to Tampa.
Yeah, that's weird. So Tom Brady was actually voted on?
I guess.
I guess you have to give a trade more love than a free agency signing. Don't you?
I guess. Yeah, it's a good point.
Now, here's the bigger question. With Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns, are they going to win this prestigious analytics award 2 years in a row?
Well, that
Chris Paul next year.
That acquisition happened in the calendar year of 2020 as well, so maybe that was up for the running.
Okay.
Again,
I don't know how you could.
I don't know, because I just found out this thing existed this morning. Yeah. Suns continue their 5-game homestand tonight against the Rockets at Phoenix Suns Arena. Phoenix bounced back from their loss to the Clippers last week by destroying the Washington Wizards by 28 on Saturday night. They are now 37-15, second in the West, 2.5 games behind Utah. Rockets come in 14-39, second worst record in the league. They've lost 2 straight in 7 of their last 8. Tonight's game gets underway after 7 o'clock. Pregame coverage here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at 6:30. Kind of a weird basketball game on Saturday. A lot of sleepwalking going on in the first half. Mm-hmm. And a lot of speculation on what went on at halftime because the Suns came out and scored 44 points in the third quarter of that game to put it away.
Yeah, that was quite something to watch. That was an onslaught. That's what happens when the Suns are making their three-pointers. That's what they can do. I was, like I said, at halftime of that game, I'm like, okay, here we go again.
Yep, playing down to the competition. Yep,
right, but they took care of that. So I wonder if somebody got nuts at halftime. It would make sense.
Coyotes losing streak now at 3 after a 1-0 loss to the Golden Knights in Vegas yesterday afternoon. Thomas Nosek scored the game's only goal at 10:38 of the third period, giving the Vegas the win. Coyotes tied a season low with only 14 shots on goal in the loss. Their seemingly endless road trip continues tonight in Denver against the Avalanche. 6 o'clock faceoff. Bally Sports Arizona Extras got the coverage there. NHL trade deadline hits today, so we'll see if the Coyotes do anything. Big trade going down last night. Former Coyote Taylor Hall dealt from Buffalo to the Boston Bruins. Remember when everybody said, why did Taylor Hall go to Buffalo? I think everybody's still asking that.
Yeah. He's in Boston.
And he wasn't good there either. The deadline hits at noon Arizona time today. And, of course, as we started the show, history made at Augusta yesterday. Hideki Matsuyama becoming the first Japanese player ever to win a men's major championship. He shot a 1-over-73 and held on late for a one-stroke victory over Will Zalatoris to win the Masters at Augusta. Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele finished 7-under, 3 strokes off the pace. I'm kind of disappointed to hear you say that, though.
Well,
as the golf fanatic on this show, to get that much Masters action crammed into just a few months, and both tournaments sucked.
They did.
Anticlimactic.
But there was a great, great moment at the end of it. I don't know if you saw it. I tweeted it out.
Yes, I did see it.
Yeah, the caddy for Hideki Matsuyama, he had no idea anybody was taking his picture. He put the pin back in at 18 and bowed in Japanese fashion to the golf course.
Took his cap off and bowed.
And it was just like, it was a great thing to see.
I don't even know why, but
it was just great.
That was a great caddy moment. Happy Gilmore's caddy.
Yeah.
Zalatoris finishing second. That was a great moment.
Will Zalatoris is an unbelievable story. This guy has come from nowhere. He was ranked in the thousands at one point in time, and wow. So, yeah. But overall, the tournament, nah. Too many big-name guys just dumped out early.
Yeah. There you go. There's your splash for Monday, April 12th coming up. Good weekend for the D-backs. Was it a resurgent weekend for the D-backs? Time will tell, but we'll dive into the possibilities next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
And now the pitch is hit to right, and there is Pavin Smith under it. He's got it, side retired. So a one-hitter through seven shutout innings for Luke Weaver. And if his afternoon has come to an end, what a day it was for him on the mound. And you hear the fans, Luke, as he heads to the dugout.
He executed a great game plan today by locating his fastball and throwing his changeup off of that. He did a really nice job. So my job is to go out on the line for these guys. But Luke earned that.
Yeah. Some of the highlights yesterday, 7-0 win for the D-backs. The story of the game was the performance from Luke Weaver, who had a no-hitter into the seventh, had a perfect game going for a while, got through even after things fell apart, and he hit the batter and then gave up the hit to Suarez, got through the seventh inning. Kind of lightened the load for the bullpen. Peacock came in, gave up a hit, but no runs. That's exactly what this baseball team needed from Luke Weaver to kind of reinstill confidence in him.
Okay.
He had struggled last year and obviously was okay in his first start, but it was nice to see Luke Weaver show the potential that he has and the form that he was in 2019. There's an analytic stat based on starting pitchers, game score. That was Luke Weaver's best start, according to game score, in his career. 82.
That doesn't surprise me at all. His stuff was electric. He was ramping it up there at 94, 95. Then when he wanted to go higher, he could for key pitches. Yeah, he was fabulous. That is just one of those games where that isn't your typical ordinary win because you're a good baseball team. That's a win because your starting pitcher is exceptional. Now, inside that game yesterday, though, there were some things that I think are good signs for the Diamondbacks.
Yes, I agree.
And it would be the offense starting to cook a little bit. Eduardo Escobar is finally back to being the player he was a year and a half ago, at least for now. And so those are good things to build on. Where it's all going, my view hasn't changed yet. But this was a nice respite. This is a good break from all the negativity.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not changing my view yet. But in order for your view to change, you need performances and weekends like the Diamondbacks had. They lost the opener on Friday, but Saturday and Sunday went well for them. Like you mentioned, the offense, we'll get into that in a little bit. But yesterday was about number 24, Luke Weaver. Here's Torrey Lovello more on the tone setting that Weaver did.
Yeah, I think that Luke Weaver set an unbelievable tone and was attacking the zone. And like I just was trying to say, that there was a really, really good rhythm to this team's effort. You know, it was, you know, moving both sides, you know, swiftly at the right times and then patiently on the other side of it. And really Luke took it from there. Once we got the lead, he just kept throwing up a lot of zeros. You shut out a team that has scored over 50 runs, I think, before they came in here. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but it's a lot. When you shut them out, you've done something pretty special. So we've done a really good job over the past couple of days of attacking game plans and getting the job done.
Yeah, that was a lot of the storyline going into the weekend. Oh, no. Diamondbacks are coming off a rough road trip to start the season. They got manhandled by the Padres in San Diego 3 out of 4. Lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies and get shut out, and a lot of doubts about the offense. But with Cincinnati coming in, and they were one of the best teams through that first week of the season, to be able to shut them out, I don't think that's any small feat for Luke Weaver. And we'll see how this affects his confidence moving forward.
Yeah, and again, and so if he could duplicate what he did, I just think that was one of those sensational starts that good pitchers run into every now and again. That's what that felt like to me, and it came at a good time. It's a good thing to build on if you're a baseball team, winning your first series of the year.
Mm-hmm.
At least you're not carrying that around. Because then you're a bad baseball team. If all you do is lose series, you're a bad baseball
Absolutely.
Team. And they beat a Reds team that had come in and had been scoring a lot of runs. So it was a good job all around. Saturday was a good deal at the ballpark. Timmy LeCastro and that whole thing of his cleats going to the Hall of Fame. You don't see that every day.
Yeah. 28 straight stolen bases to start a career.
Yeah, it came after all that weirdness on Friday with the concession lines and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I know there were reports of people standing in line for 5 innings. My question is this, Bick.
Mm-hmm.
After you get past like the second inning of standing in line, are you just still standing in line to prove a point, to make your complaint more valid? How hungry really are you for animal byproduct on a bun?
Well, you know what it is. the minute you think I'm not going to get this, then you want it all the more.
Yeah.
And right. Then it becomes deeply personal, and then
it's God-given right to have a hot dog at a baseball game, and I've waited a year and a half and I'm not leaving until I get it.
Yeah.
Also, like right when you're like, okay, I'm gonna leave, right when you do that, like the line moves up a little bit. Yeah, here we go. Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, did you go to eat a hot dog or did you go to watch a baseball game? That's the question.
It always drives me crazy when I get into the wrong line at like Total Wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ever happened to you? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Ever happened to me? Does it ever not happen? Yeah. Any line I'm in is the wrong line.
It's always a long line. Yeah, wrong line. Yeah.
Worst. I'm not saying, look, it was a mess and I'm having a little fun with it. Apparently, they weren't fully ready after a year and a half off, and that probably shouldn't surprise people. I know people are mad. It'll get better. What were you going to say, Jared?
I was going to say is when you're stuck in traffic and you decide to change lanes, every time as soon as you change the lane, the lane you just left starts moving.
It's it's like that scene at the beginning of Office Space when Michael Bolton keeps changing lanes and then has to slam the brakes on every time he changes lanes. The offense, too. That was a plus. For the 3 games, 20 runs scored. They hit .279 as a team. They had a team OPS of .855, 5 home runs, 5 doubles, and they drew 19 walks, a little bit of plate discipline, too. I think overall, really good weekend for the Diamondbacks. Can they build on it? The A's have seemingly righted the ship. They lost 6 in a row to start the year, and they're playing better baseball, but take advantage of this because this is, your home games are scarce in April, and these are your last 2 for a while. So if you're the Diamondbacks and can take care of business, at least you can hit the road for a prolonged road trip with a little confidence behind you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Want to tell you don't have to be a star athlete to get your signing bonus. Just text BONUS right now to 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon with us at 135. If you hear your name, you can win $500. Once again, that's BONUS to 620-620. It is the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Coming up next, the Arizona Cardinals. Still shuffling, still building for 2021. Will that involve a veteran running back? It's possible. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Well, no different from corner. I think it's, you know, those are positions that we'll continue to monitor, not only the market, but there'll be positions that we look at in the draft process. So anytime that we can add additional playmakers, we'll take those opportunities. And, you know, I think Chase having this opportunity is going to be huge for him. I think he's shown the ability to be an excellent back in this league with his quickness and his run style. Again, you know, we'll continue to monitor those positions throughout the spring.
That was Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, back on March 22nd, talking about still monitoring the position of running back, and apparently here on April 12th, still monitoring that, because the reports are out there, various reports that the Cardinals are bringing in Steelers free agent running back James Conner for a visit. He was once upon a time a third-round pick back in 2017. Has been productive, but has had injury issues during his career with the Steelers, had a tremendous college career at the University of Pittsburgh. This make no mistake about it, this would be an upgrade. If it comes down to this or drafting a running back high, that's where I get a little fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the Najee Harris discussions. Would Najee Harris make sense at 16? Now, you know, we had Mel Kiper Jr. on last week on this show, and he said not at 16 because of the value.
For a running back, I would say, you know, unless you're Zeke Elliott or Christian McCaffrey or, you know, some of the great backs that have gone high in the draft, the grade doesn't match up with that, guys. And I always said if the grade matches up, and you got a head coach banging the table and a coordinator, I got to have this guy, then I might sign off on it. But I look at the big board, and I think that the board, Carl Peterson always said, you go through this exercise of putting ratings on players and coming up with big boards for a reason, and ultimately try to stay true to your board. And
yeah.
I think for Najee Harris, while he's a heck of an all-around back, he's 25 on my big board. And if you're picking 16, you got to get somebody inside of your top 10. You're going to draft somebody normally inside of your top 10 on your board. So Najee, while I like him, I think it would be awfully rich to take him at that 16th spot, or even, as I say, anywhere inside of 25.
All right, when you consider these two options, Bick, you're the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Go after a guy like James Conner, who I think, by the way, of the available free agents at running back is the best name out there, makes the most sense for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree.
But what scratches that itch more for the Cardinals? A guy like Conner or drafting a guy high like a Harris or a Travis Etienne?
Well, okay. I think in this situation I would take the established player, but I don't think it's that easy. I don't think James Conner is going to be hurting for options. He's going to have to want to be here. This won't be I have nowhere else to play. Yes, I'll take your offer.
I mean, it is April 12th.
Yeah.
And he's still out there.
Well, there's guys who are going to there are guys who said they're going to wait till after the draft.
Sure.
And I don't know if he's going to want to do that, but you know, there's some familiar faces here. The Cardinals running back coach he's been with in Pittsburgh, and so I would like to think that this thing could get done. I just think that this is a big name guy on some level. And I think he is really good at what he does, and I think he's going to attract some interest. What's interesting, again, is here's yet another skill player who comes from a system or a team where it's like, yeah, you know, his numbers don't look great, but it's really not his fault. And in Pittsburgh, it was basically that I read a piece that said over the last 9 weeks of the season, they just stopped running the ball entirely. They were throwing the ball 3 out of every 4 plays.
Yeah. But even so, and I use the word anemic to describe the Steelers' rushing attack for most of last year in the splash, and it was, as a team, they averaged 3.6 yards per carry. He was well above that at 4.3.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't James Conner's issue. But yeah, after Conner went on the COVID-19 list in early December, there wasn't much production at all from the running, you know, running the football from the Steelers last year.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think this is necessarily a bad move. The thing that I get caught up on, and I'm not even saying the most prudent move for the Cardinals would be a guy like Najee Harris at 16, because as Mel Kiper pointed out, probably not that high on the board. But I saw a description in doing some reading on the draft about Harris. He was described as Derrick Henry, but he can catch. And,
well,
pardon me for being excited by that.
Oh, no, listen, I get it. And I wish they really wish they would stop doing that. Stop comparing elite prospects to the top of the line player at his position in the NFL. It's just because that gets you, that gets you a little bit goofy.
Well,
Najee Harris is, I do believe he's going to be all that. But I just, again, it's if you're building a football team, what Mel Kiper's saying is that if you're at 16, there's probably somebody left from your top 10.
Sure.
Because they don't have quarterbacks on their top 10.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to take that guy. You can't be thinking about what position do we need. Now, there are times when you have to, when you say, well, we need this, this, and this. So let's take the best out of those three groups, and that can mitigate it all. But that's just too high for Najee Harris.
Yeah, well, when you say Najee Harris, though, and you say, you know, the way people break him down in the analysts.
Yeah. What do they say, Jared?
Well, something like this, perhaps?
Ooh, wait.
Najee Harris, running back, Alabama.
Harris has always had the size of a bruising running back, but the 2020 season showed that he also has the creativity and elusiveness to complement his physical running style. Although he is missing the breakaway speed of other backs, his abilities as an option out of the backfield, along with his pass blocking, makes him a true three-down back. Harris's punishing style might shorten his career, but his toughness and skills should be an immediate upgrade for any team. NFL comp, former Rams and Falcons running back, Steven Jackson.
I think that's a good comp. I like
not
that.
Not bad. It's not as good as Derrick Henry, who can catch the ball. I like that better.
Steven Jackson was pretty prolific.
Derrick Henry, who can catch the ball, that's like, you know, David Robinson with a jumper or whatever.
Right, right.
And they always do that.
Right, right, exactly.
Wait, what are you getting at, Jarrett?
I'm just saying that sometimes they can't. Some of these comparisons are so absurd. It's not even, they can't even compare it to like a Hall of Famer. They have to compare it to a Hall of Famer and then say like, but he does this even better than the Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I was listening to Burns and Gambo, and they were having the running back discussion. It might have been on Friday. And it was a fascinating discussion because they were talking about how they were talking about the second contract for a drafted, like a first-round running back. And we know running backs, they've been diminished. They're still very important in the NFL, but their importance has been diminished in the draft process. And I was thinking to myself, while listening to that discussion, I hadn't thought of it that way. But isn't it a great problem to have if you are a team like the Tennessee Titans and you invest, and they didn't even go first round. I think Derrick Henry was a second round pick, if I'm not mistaken. If somebody outperforms their draft status that much and becomes that important to what you do offensively, isn't that a good problem to have? Well, we have the best running back in the league, so we're going to be that rare team that pays him. Now, it recently has backfired on the Cardinals, obviously, with David Johnson, but even at the height of his powers with the Cardinals, David Johnson wasn't close to the weapon that Derrick Henry was.
Well, I think what we're seeing now is you're seeing a couple of things. You're seeing guys flash and then just break apart a little bit, and I think now more than ever, and Derrick Henry, he's the freak in terms of it, but if you are a guy who shoulders a giant load like Connor did after he took over for Le'Veon Bell. He came back the next year, and like you said, it looked like he showed the effects of all that attrition. He played in only 10 games. He rushed the ball only 116 times. And so there was a realization that maybe he's better in a split role capacity. So maybe he comes to Arizona and they say, listen, you're going to be this guy. Chase Edmonds is going to be that guy, and this is going to help prolong your career. You didn't get the profile you wanted out of last year in Pittsburgh. Let us help you. It might work.
It might work. I'm a fan of James Conner, and if you're familiar with his story at all, it would be hard not to be a fan of him for what he's overcome in his career. Now, at one point of his career, you may remember, I got to find a picture of it and tweet it out. He may have had the worst haircut in the history of the NFL.
I don't remember that.
No?
No, I don't.
I got to find it.
Well,
it was horrific.
Yeah, listen, so this is so when you look at his splits from last year, his numbers are kind of encouraging, if you will. Up to week 7 of last year, Connor was the featured back, and he saw a workload that reflected 75 carries 15 per game and 18 total touches per game for 90 yards.
Yeah.
Not terrible. But at one point in time, after a game against the Titans, the Steelers just became pass happy. And in his last 13 games, nobody was getting anything done. I like him because of the way he plays. Yeah, that's a bad haircut.
I think it was rookie hazing related, but
that's,
man,
a bad haircut.
Yeah, pretty bad from 2018.
So James Conner, I'm interested in this guy. I hope he's interested in the Cardinals.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it and report anything that happens. But that was the report today. James Conner, free agent running back, coming in for a visit with the Arizona Cardinals. Coming up next, Suns up to 37 wins on the year. Can they make it 38 tonight against another bad basketball team in Houston? We'll explore the possibilities next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
DeAndre Ayton's bounce pass goes to Booker. Booker holds up left of the lane. Now brings it out of the three-point land. He'll put it up from there. Shazam! Another trio. 28 points.
As Al McCoy, three of Devin Booker's points Saturday night. Suns started slow. Sleptwalk through the first half against Washington, a team playing without their best player in Bradley Beal, and then came out and turned it on after the half and just blew away the Washington Wizards by scoring a season-high 44 points in the third quarter of that win for victory number 37 for the Suns. Devin Booker, who hit that three you heard in the highlight, was asked, hey, what happened at halftime to get you guys going?
We just had to lock in. I think we were low on juice in the first half, and, you know, they weren't stopping. You know, they're gonna keep coming at you. So, you know, we want to put some type of statement in the game and lock in. And, you know, we did that and ran away a little bit and held that lead the rest of the time.
Yeah, it certainly worked. They looked like a different team after halftime.
Yeah,
Devin Booker, by the way, in addition to really heating up from the floor in the second half, made two of the best transition passes you'll see all season long.
Yeah,
on those long cross-court bounce passes to Mikal Bridges. The second one, I don't know, A, how Mikal Bridges caught it. Not that it was a bad pass, but he was sprinting. And then in one motion, just kind of reversed it up with the left hand. It was a gorgeous play.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that third quarter was something, I tell you that. 44 points in any quarter is a big number. You do that coming out of a half, it's a real sure sign that somebody went nutso. It had to have been. I'm guessing it probably was Chris Paul. Probably had seen enough of that stuff. 107 field goal attempts for the game and only 3 turnovers. Those are really good
numbers.
New
team record.
Yes.
36 assists to 3 turnovers.
That's unbelievable. So
for a team that's been kicking the ball around a little bit recently, not consistently, but in spots, to go 48 minutes with 3 turnovers is unheard of.
Now they were playing a garbage opponent, but at the same time, that's what you have to do to them. And
same
then
garbage opponent that beat them by 21
exactly,
in D.C. So.
Exactly. So this is, to me, a sign of growth that now the Suns have realized that we have to put the foot down on the teams that we're supposed to beat, because that's how you can unplug starters from fourth quarter minutes. It's the best way to do it. And
it was a pretty visual unplugging starters from fourth quarter minutes the other night. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton are both sitting at the scorer's table waiting to come back in. And then I think Javon Carter hit a couple threes. And Monty's like,
come on back, guys.
Come on back. Yeah. And they're like, okay.
Come on back.
Your night's done. We're going with bench players. That's valuable. That's the plus. I can't get past the thing that's growing on my concern list for the Suns.
All right.
Is this run continuing of, even with lesser opponents, avoiding these teams without some of their best players? And last, Saturday, it was Bradley Beal, didn't play back-to-backs. Davis Bertans, who you might say, well, big deal. Davis,
he's a good player.
He's a devastating shooter.
He's a good player.
And he missed the game, the back-to-back on Saturday for rest, which really got me thinking. If you're Davis Bertans, what are you resting? If you're healthy enough to play,
why are you resting?
Your off season is going to be here before you know it. You got plenty of time to rest.
Yeah, I don't get any of that mindset. I really don't.
No, I understand if Washington's a playoff team and they want to manage workload. I get it, but whatever.
Well, they could be tanking, you know.
True.
You know, very much the same way that the Suns once did and it didn't work, and the way the Coyotes once did and it didn't work, and pretty much never works.
At least for the teams here in town.
Yeah, that too. That too. But now we're getting into a game against Houston tonight. This should be another manageable game. Mm-hmm. This should be low drama. And then you get an interesting test against the Miami Heat.
Who
at the very least play real defense.
There's still people that believe, I saw it over the weekend and I forget who claimed it. Somebody national said he still believes the Heat are the best team in the East, which I'm just not buying right now. They don't have the same swagger they did in the bubble and in the postseason. But you're right. That's a good basketball team that's coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think this is tonight's game is an interesting gauge for the Suns, Bick, because it was just last week the Suns got Houston in Houston. And the list of players that wasn't playing was very long, and the Rockets gave them everything they could handle.
I'm not really that well. Bringing the Suns down because they know they're playing shorthanded teams, that is disconcerting. There's a lack of maturity with that has to get rectified. But I believe there's going to be enough big games for this team down the stretch to get sharpened.
After today, it's 10 straight games against playoff teams or playoff contenders like in the ninth seed. 10 straight.
Yeah, and that road trip that's coming up in April, I mean, I talk about it a lot. It's going to be a really, really true test. So, I mean, I agree with you. Overall, a low concern game tonight. If the Suns do what they're capable of doing with the amount of health that they have on their team, they should win this game rather easily. It gets more interesting.
I thought it was interesting after the game on Saturday, Monty Williams openly spoke because clearly he feels bad about Etuan Moore and Langston Galloway not playing. I don't believe Moore has been on the court since the middle of March. And
I thought this was interesting too.
And go ahead. You derailed my train of thought.
About Etuan Moore not playing and Langston
Yes,
Galloway.
Yes. I thought it was very interesting how he almost said and pretty much did that he almost dissuaded some of these guys from coming to Phoenix because he knew he was going to get a minutes crunch and they wanted to come anyways. So I thought that was interesting. I thought it must be a way of just kind of verbally supporting those guys.
Yeah,
who probably thought they were going to get more minutes, and this is really a great thing about this basketball team is that when you get teams that really know that there's something special going on, they don't care about that stuff.
Well, and they talked about it over the weekend too. Mikal Bridges had a quote after the game on Saturday, said this is like a college team, and if you watch these guys warm up and the way they support each other, and late in that game. You know, you had the starters. I mentioned Booker and Ayton got pulled back to the bench, and they're up the whole fourth quarter. Javon Carter was putting on a three-point shooting display in the fourth quarter. Those guys are all going nuts.
Uh-huh.
I buy that. This is a team, after being up close and personal for teams, didn't seem all that connected, and losing will do that to you. Losing will make you very singular in your focus, and that focus a lot of times is I'm going to get mine. This is not a team that is built that way, and it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, listen, Etuan Moore is a solid player. Langston Galloway can fill it up. The Phoenix Suns have rarely, certainly not in the last 10 years, have had bench players so good who they couldn't find minutes for. That's not an issue we've dealt with in a long, long time.
There are a few teams in the league that can make that claim right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just mentioned that game against Utah last week. Utah's got their rotation. They got like four, five, six guys at the end of that roster that don't play very much.
Yeah,
that you wouldn't expect to play very much. The guys at the end of the Suns bench, outside of Alexander and Jalen Smith, they've all been in the rotation at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, too, the way Cameron Payne is playing right now and the way Javon Carter is playing, they've right now cemented those roles in the rotation. But again, it's hard to ignore the fact that the two guys that you mentioned, Etuan Moore and Langston Galloway, are two total professionals.
Yeah.
If an opportunity arises, they're going to be ready to go. The Suns are blessed in that manner. And a lot of that has to go with the culture and two guys like, hey, I'm willing to accept it. To be part of a team that we think has a chance to do something, that takes a lot.
Look,
for a veteran player.
I just looked it up. Etuan Moore hasn't played since March 13th.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a real long time. Galloway hasn't played since March 30th. So these guys, they're not causing issues.
And they're not even, since they've been out of the rotation, they're not even included in garbage minutes. They don't come in then
either.
But that's a show of respect from the coach too. He'll go to the young players and let them play. It's difficult, but you wouldn't know it to watch how Moore and Galloway operate.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree with that.
Both still working real hard. Suns and Rockets tonight from Phoenix Suns Arena. You can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, James Conner. Could he be an Arizona Cardinal? What has he got? We'll get a up-close and personal report from a Steelers reporter, Mark Cabali, next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.